9:40 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's war cabinet, full security cabinet, full government, and Supreme Court would need to approve any deal before hostages can be released by Hamas. CBS's Robert Berger.
The release of the hostages would begin in stages. 10 or so of the Israeli hostages would be released each day in exchange for about 30 Palestinian prisoners each day.
Women and children would be released in phase one. Millions of people will be traveling this week for Thanksgiving, but some are braving airports early.
We do not travel on Thanksgiving, usually.
Never.
It's too hard.
These women were at Newark Airport in New Jersey this morning. Airlines are bracing for potential bad weather. And President Biden says the U.S. and Mexico are working together to fight fentanyl trafficking at the border.
We've made record seizures of fentanyl at the border this year, intercepting these dangerous drugs before they can get into the United States.
He had a meeting today about it at the White House. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Discover the secret to a healthier you at Lake County Botanics. Vape Walkie specializes in top quality hemp products from CBD to Delta 8, all curated just for you. You'll find Delta 8.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the state capitol. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments in a lawsuit today challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, says the Wisconsin Constitution is clear.
Each assembly district must consist of contiguous territory. That is to say, it cannot be made up of two or more pieces of detached territory. And then it went on to say that this requirement was, quote, absolutely binding.
The court will decide whether Wisconsin's maps are gerrymandered to the point of being unconstitutional. Mild weather made for a slower opening weekend for Wisconsin's annual 9-day gun deer hunt compared to last year. The Department of Natural Resources says the harvest for this year's first 2 days was about 16% off from last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There are words inscribed on the bottom of the new Waukesha Christmas Parade Memorial unveiled today. Mayor Sean Riley gave a reading this morning.
Like a ribbon woven, we are stronger together. One ribbon representing the victims, one ribbon representing all that were affected. Looking through an open heart upon the city, a symbol of healing and strength. In tragedy, our community unites, dedicated to those who lost their lives, were injured, and all who were touched by the tragedy at the Waukesha Christmas Parade.
The mayor was on As Goes Wisconsin. There are plans for another memorial to be ready for next year. That's in Greedy Park. AAA has gas in Waukesha and Milwaukee counties about a dime below the $3 mark. Prices are down about 40 cents from a year ago at this time. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in and practiced Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a 5-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 29 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Lows around 29 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And we have a real humdinger of an issue right now. Today was the moment of truth. Today was the moment of truth. Oral argument in the redistricting case. We've been talking about it a long time, and it's come down to it. Justice Janet Protasiewicz sat, is considering the case. It's going to take a while to issue an opinion. But I want to talk about some of the things that were said from the bench today and the two issues that are in front of this court. The two, what I would call most conservative justices, Rebecca Bradley, and by the way, there are two Bradleys, is Ann Walsh Bradley, who is a moderate and applies the Constitution. And there's Rebecca Bradley, who's extremely right-wing, and in effect, her decisions go the way of the Republican Party. So I'm talking about Rebecca Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley. Rebecca Bradley, right out in the open in comments from the bench, right in the middle of the first guy to argue, said, basically, we all know that this is a political thing, that you waited for a new justice to be seated after the election, and that's where you bought it, and you wouldn't have brought it otherwise, would you? And the lawyer arguing said, we would have brought it under any circumstances. The other one, Annette Ziegler, said, wait a minute, we decided this a year ago, why are we doing it again? Well, I'll tell you what, Supreme Court's changed their minds. 20 years ago, I argued a case in the Wisconsin Supreme Court for Johnson Controls about whether or not insurance should pay for Superfund cleanups. And we won that case. It directly contradicted a prior decision of the Supreme Court. So you can successfully challenge a prior decision of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, even if they've decided differently before. In this case, of course, they decided differently because there were four justices in the majority who did it one way and did not apply the Constitution, in my view. So there's a very good reason to do it here, but it's also done in commercial cases, and I've litigated those cases. Here are the two issues. You know, in the original filing, when you go to the U.S., but also Wisconsin Supreme Court, you go by permission. You don't get to go there automatically. They don't take every case. You have to file a petition for review. And a lot of them aren't granted. In this one, they petitioned for review of four or five topics, just flat out redistricting, unconstitutional. The Wisconsin Supreme Court was very smart. And they said, no, we're only going to take two issues. two issues because they squarely are implicated in the Wisconsin Constitution. One of them is, are any of the districts non-contiguous? And what do I mean by that? There's a requirement under Wisconsin constitutional law that a district has to be contiguous, which means that its parts have to touch each other. But in the case of Wisconsin, 54 out of the 99 assembly districts are not contiguous. You know, there's an assemblyman in Fitchburg who might have part of his district away, you know, miles away. He has to go somewhere else to get those votes. And in between is somebody else's districts. That's not right. That's just flat out gerrymandering. They have to be contiguous. 21 of the 33 Senate districts violate that provision too. So at the very least, it's very possible the Supreme Court will rule that they have to be contiguous and order a redistricting to make them contiguous. And in the process of doing that, putting communities of interest together and making them contiguous, it will change the boundaries of these districts. Will it give what we think of as a political gerrymander to fair maps? Not necessarily, but it's a huge improvement. The second thing, though, that's very interesting to me is they took review over an issue called the separation of powers. Now, in Wisconsin, just like in the federal government, you have three branches of government. You have the executive, which is the governor in Wisconsin, the president of the United States. You have the judicial, which is the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court, by analogy. And the legislative, which is the Wisconsin Senate and Assembly, and federally, the Senate and the House of Representatives. They're of equal stature in the federal constitution on the one hand and the state constitution on the other. The issue that this Supreme Court is also taking, in addition to having to decide that what do you do when 54 of 99 assembly districts are not even contiguous, and 21 of 33 Senate districts are not even contiguous, was the separation of powers violated when the Republican majority Supreme Court a year or so ago said that they approved the Republican bill? What happened was the Republicans passed a bill, and it was a wild Walker-type gerrymander, and Governor Evers vetoed it. That's why you have Democratic government. The Wisconsin Supreme Court simply ruled that it was okay. Well, this Supreme Court could very well rule that's not okay. Governor Evers is the executive. He's a co-equal branch of government with the legislative and with the judiciary, and you can't just blow it off. What that could mean is that they could order a special master to redistrict. They could ask the parties to propose maps and pick one of them. The Republicans will appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court, which doesn't have to take it, and they may not. But if they do, depending on what the Wisconsin Supreme Court does, the whole thing they're trying to do is jam 2024 so nothing can be done until 2026, because the maps have to be in place by March. This is November 21st. I'm talking March, so people know what districts they're running in. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Trump is just an awful person, and he shouldn't be in charge of anything, least let alone the United States and being a president. That being said, why are the Republicans scared of fair maps? They have to have these great candidates, and everybody likes them. That's the first thing I'd like to know. If you have fair maps and these guys are so great, they'll get reelected. But my question is here, if you do win this case, and which you should do, because the least we could ask for is fair maps to have fair elections, what are you looking at here? Are you looking at the Iowa deal, which I happen to think is a pretty good way to go, where a non-partial people draw these districts, instead of the legislative branch, or what would be the end game of this, Matt? And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Well, a couple of things. As far as the end game or the remedy, I don't expect this Supreme Court to order a commission like Iowa. That would be, I think they would think that that is beyond their authority under the Constitution. But under the Constitution, they can order that the districts all be contiguous, and they can order that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, their own court, basically, except with different justices, a year or so ago, violated the separation of powers by doing what it did, and then ordering new maps. And the question is going to be, how do they order them? And it'd be this one time. It wouldn't be future commission like in Iowa, but this one time. And what I would say is they could order the legislature to go back to the drawing boards, which would be a waste of time. They could order each of the parties to propose maps, and then they pick one of them. Or what I would do, what they could consider doing, is put together a team of special masters, we'd call them, or referees, from the faculties, say, at Madison and Marquette or UWM, in statistics, in government, and charge them with making contiguous districts, keeping community of interests and counties together. You know, right now, Greene County split up seven ways from Sunday. Sheboygan is seven ways from Sunday. And give them some other general directives and have them come up with a map. And then submit that to the parties, and the legislature can howl all they want, but this would be a map that would be ordered by the Supreme Court. They could do that. I have no idea what remedy they're ultimately going to order. Now, as far as your first question, which I thought was a very good one too, is why the Republicans doing that? Well, for one thing, and I wouldn't want a Republican to hear me say it. So, of course, you can hear me say it because a lot of Republicans listening to the show. But I think Republicans would actually do well in a lot of districts, even with fair maps. I have friends up in the 7th Congressional District, up in the Lincoln County area. I have relatives in Hayward. And the word I get is that there's been a sea change in politics up there, regardless of gerrymandering. You know, back in the old days when I was active, Dave Obie was the congressman. We had Democratic state senators and assemblymen in Superior, in right along Lake Superior, Ashland. Now that's all changed, and I don't think it's only gerrymandering. So the odd thing is, if you had a Republican who said, hey, I want fair maps, they might do all right, but they would not get two-thirds. They wouldn't be able to override vetoes. But one thing that fair maps or a reassignment, a reallocation of these districts would do is get rid of the very bad legislators we have. Most of them are in the Republican Party, but some of them are in the Democratic Party. So now you have to run for the fringes, be blessed by Trump and the MAGA right, or be blessed by the squad types and the anti-Israel types and all that. If you had fair maps, what you'd have is people that would have to get votes from both sides. You'd have a much more talented legislature. Okay, Paul, thanks a lot for calling in. As always, I like your calls. As always, I love your calls. Coming up, the status of the hostage agreement, supposedly, with Hamas.
The rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I can help whoever's
Cooper's
there.
Overnight shipping company has to deliver the goods.
Ship these gifts to your grandkids.
They need a logistics manager to keep the wheels turning.
126 packages going to Toronto, Tuscaloosa, Montreal, and Minneapolis. Oh, boy.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a tentative agreement that's being reported by the media, but it is not yet graven in stone for a hostage agreement to release some hostages. I'm going to give you the latest update when I went on the air just now at 3:06 p.m. So it could break more while we're on the air now, but here's what it is. And I'm going to give you the bones of it, then I'm going to give you the possible obstacles, and then my thoughts on it. The bones of it are that 50 hostages, children and women, and by the way, they kidnapped infants. They kidnapped a guy's wife and his three kids. The youngest is 3 years old, raped all the women. They have infants there. They have 30 to 40 kids there. They also just murdered a 19-year-old Israeli captive and falsely said that she had been killed in an Israeli bombing, and it turned out they had video that showed what they were doing to her. And these Hamas people are absolute animals. They killed two foreign women. And remember something, this is not, Hamas does not look on this as a colonial struggle. Hamas is identical to ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Hezbollah, the Janjaweed. What they want is a caliphate throughout the area and preferably worldwide. And their murderous, sadistic attacks on Jews and on Israelis are simply metaphorical for their desire to do it to Western civilization and Christians. And the fact of the matter is that Israel is part of the West, and the West is held to high standards, and no one else is. But back to the hostage exchange, the bones of it that were described are that Hamas would release 50 hostages, children and women. Although since there are about 40 children there, that would leave 10 women. And they won't release mothers to be with their kids. In some cases, they killed the mothers or killed them, the kids in front of the mothers. But they do it 10 a day. So over 5 days, and during those 5 days, Israel would agree to pause the bombing, to keep its troops on the ground in Gaza, and then hopefully, and let aid in, let humanitarian aid in for Gaza. And then hopefully in those 4 or 5 days, and by the way, the government of Qatar is brokering this, they would have an agreement for the release of some more. In return for these 50 hostages released, Israel would release 150 Palestinian prisoners who have committed atrocities. Let me tell you a couple of things. It's been discussed, it was discussed in the Israeli cabinet today. Israel has several aspects of its cabinet, portions of it, who handle this, and then the full cabinet was to meet. It's 8 hours later there, so it's 3:24 here. It's 11:24 p.m. in Israel. I have no idea if they actually finished their meeting or where it's at. But here are a couple of impediments, but here's how I think you overcome the impediments. First of all, believe it or not, the head guy of Hamas in Gaza right now, remember, several of them live in United Arab Emirates, and they're worth between $4 and $5 billion with a B dollars each. But the head guy in Gaza is a guy named, this is his name, believe it or not, Yahya Sinjar. Yahya spelled Y-A-H-Y-A, Yahya Sinjar. He spent 20 years in Israeli prison. He's an absolute sadistic murderer because he was also the head of the group that went in on October 7 and committed Nazi-type savagery towards women and children. Murdering, burning, raping in front of relatives. As a lawyer who has negotiated many, many settlement agreements over time, I find the idea of having to negotiate with the guy who orchestrated the sadism in the first place repugnant. But more importantly, what's to say that at some point they've already killed a number of the hostages, not on October 7th, since they've had them. He kills the rest of them and just says they were killed in Israeli bomb strikes. And I don't know where the remains are. What he's doing is sadistic. He is sort of rationing out 10 kids a day, knowing that everybody is anguished. He's getting sadistic pleasure out of that. He's getting sadistic pleasure out of this negotiation because he doesn't care about the bombing because he's deep in the tunnels where they've hoarded a lot of the food, the water, and everything else. He does not care about Palestinian lives. So, what do I think is going to happen? I think there's tremendous pressure, obviously on Israel, obviously on the administration, to have something to show for this. And getting rid of 150 Palestinian prisoners, the problem is you'll wake up one night and see one of them in your bedroom with a knife in his teeth. I mean, you know, it's a real problem releasing these people to come back and kill. But I think that something is going to be done here simply to show progress. And if they get out 50 kids, hostages, infants, three-year-olds, they've been held for 45 days without their mothers. Who's fed them? Who's tried to calm them down? These kids are terrified. If you can do that, and then have a pause in the bombing for 5 days. But they're going to keep trying to meet this out. And in the meantime, and they'll leak it out day at a time. And in the meantime, they're just building up their missiles. One of the biggest barrages of missiles against central Israel, against Tel Aviv, just occurred today. Obviously, it's 8 hours later, so it's earlier today, our time. When you're negotiating, do you launch one of the biggest missile barrages at the same time? I think that what has to be disassociated in the common mind in the West is that the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinians, who are fundamentally very good people, are different from the terror group, the sadist groups, ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, the Janjaweed, Islamic Jihad. These people do not care about the Palestinians. These people care about a caliphate, a theocratic government over the whole region and eventually over the world, and the destruction of the West. And Israel is our ally, our brother, who's bearing the brunt of it, just as Ukraine is bearing the brunt of these Nazi Russians and their sadism. So stand by. That's what we know about the swap for now, and we'll see how that develops. I'll tell you what's coming up. There's a lot of news and weather. And I'll tell you what also, Elon Musk sues a media watchdog?
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Marquette University's Craig Gilbert says it's not clear what new maps would look like, even if the high court throws out the current maps.
Is a neutral map a 50-50 map in 50-50 Wisconsin? Or is it a neutral map, one that just pays no attention to politics and follows the geography of the state?
Gilbert spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. A judge in Chippewa Falls will decide by January if a boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year will be tried as a juvenile or as an adult. Lawyers for the accused teenagers say that he would be better served by Wisconsin's juvenile justice system. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The lives lost 2 years ago are being memorialized today. Virginia Sorensen, Leanna Owen, Tamara Durand, Jane Coolidge, Wilhelm Hospel, and Jackson Sparks were all killed during the Christmas parade attack 2 years ago. With the Main Street Parade Memorial unveiling today, work also continues on another memorial to be ready next year. That's at Greedy Park and involves clay tiles created by the community. The Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee is organizing its annual holiday gift drive. Through Christmas, the organization is inviting the community to contribute to the drive by making a monetary donation or purchasing from an Amazon gift wish list, which includes educational toys, winter essentials, and options for kids of all ages. Last year, the organization distributed over 4,000 gifts to club members across the city. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University, Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a 5-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 29 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Lows around 29 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
This is Stuart J. Waddles in the WAUK newsroom with an update on this afternoon's road closures in downtown Waukesha. The Five Points intersection is where the memorial ceremony starts at 4:39 p.m. That means no vehicle parking along roads in that area after 2, including closures on Main, Broadway, and Freedman. After 3, no traffic will be able to enter or exit the event area. The City of Waukesha does have more event info on their website.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. UK. UK.
Welcome back to Matson Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Well, great gratitude to you as always. Your stories about your information about the infringement on the voting rights that you told us about, and your portrait of this guy named Mike Davis, who is angling to be the next Attorney General in a Trump administration, it's very useful. It's really telling us a story, Matt, that the pieces are being put into play, and this guy, Mike Davis, as an attorney, or as our Attorney General, would be a guy who promises to have a reign of terror in Washington, D.C. And he talks about deporting not just deporting people, but the anchor babies and their parents and their grandparents. I might add, it would be kind of interesting to see what happens with Melania Trump in that circumstance and her parents. But suffice to say, this is a guy who promises to indict Biden and everyone in his family, with the exception of a five-year-old granddaughter. And again, we don't even say indict for what. Instead, I'm going to indict him. There's not even the veneer of the law will progress and we'll see if there are issues that would support an indictment. Instead, he's blabbing his pie hole at record speed to be talking about this revenge tour that Trump plans to put into place if he's elected. You can see it in the infringement of voting rights. You can see it in this, having this guy as somebody that you would want to have, you know, let's jail our enemies. He's talking about jailing journalists. And I would say the enemies list could be pretty broad. You know, it could be the people in the military that he doesn't think are towing the line and that Trump doesn't think are towing the line. That's a pretty long list. And then when we start to look at that Project 2025, and that's supposedly, as we speak, vetting Trump loyalists to replace something like 50,000 people who are within the federal bureaucracy in D.C., man, oh, man, it's happening. And we can kind of ignore it, but it's coming down the pike. And I feel not unlike, and I'm sure there are plenty of women who've had this sensation of walking on, down a dark road, and all of a sudden there's one guy walking towards you, and there's another guy walking towards you, and there's another guy walking towards you, and you know well what's going to be happening unless something miraculous saves you. And it just feels like that, Matt. And I know I may sound alarmist here, but a man who is angling to be Attorney General and brags about how we are going to jail our enemies doesn't really sound like somebody who's, might we say, pro-democracy. Anyway, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's a powerful analogy, Joe. It's a very, very powerful analogy that you just drew. And I think that's right. And the thing that astonishes me is that they're not hiding it. You know, even Hitler in 1932, and then when he was made chancellor, and he didn't have a majority, but he did have a plurality of the vote, and it's parliamentary democracy, and they put together a government. And he was made the chancellor, and then he went to the Reichstag, which is the clone of their Congress, and said, let me, in effect, dissolve you, or you know, put you in the background, don't meet for 4 years, and 4 years I'll clean up all the injustice of the Versailles Treaty and the internal enemies we have, because in those days there were gangs, and largely it was because of him. There were Nazi gangs and communist gangs fighting each other. And for a while, Munich, right after the Second World War, had a brief period of communist government. And people were very worried about communists. And it wasn't the kind of communists we think of here. It was Stalin-type communists. And, you know, no one wanted them either. The Nazis were not as known, didn't have as long a history. And they thought, okay, they're a bunch of right-wing guys. They'll take care of it. They'll have the Reichstag back. Well, they never, ever got it back until the end of the Second World War, and he managed to kill millions of people. So, but he didn't come out and say the things that Trump says or this Michael Davis said. He would be very, very affable about it. We need a strong hand at the tiller and got to get rid of the communists, and we got to get rid of the Versailles Treaty and all that. What this guy is doing is, and what's astonishing, and that people don't seem to care. And not only that, when you have an attorney general who says he's going to jail people's grandmothers or deport them, and he said, I'm going to put babies in cages, it's going to be glorious. That was his term. And that he is going to put all of the garbage and so forth from the, in the DC gulag in Gitmo. You can't be more explicit than that. Now, if our judiciary holds, that should be barred. But if he gets rid in the army of all the honest generals, the General Milleys, and I don't know where he's going to put other people, and if he puts a Michael Davis or a Jeffrey Clark in as attorney general and pounds voting machines, and he has the six tarantulas, I think some of them, like Roberts, wouldn't go along with it. I think Clarence Thomas would go along with it. I don't know about Alito and Gorsuch. Or he just suspends the Supreme Court. I think, and your analogy about a woman walking down a dark street and seeing a couple of guys is chilling, and it's very, very real. Thanks for calling, Joe. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Thank you for taking my call, and great show as usual, Matt. Thank you, Joe. Just outstanding as usual. Your comments are just great. And I have to say that, I agree with Joe 100%. And then, you know, he goes after women all the time. I mean, Republicans, I'm sorry to say, are the MAGA men are not very good toward women. They want fault, divorce, a lot of different weird things that they are hoping for. Unfortunately, I think our press is not covering this. Our local stations are not covering one iota word about what this guy is saying, which is really scary to me. In addition to that, I don't understand where the true Republicans are, because this is going to impact them too, because they're rhinos, and they're after rhinos too. I don't know who is favored among the Trump clan, because if you just disagree with Trump once, you're in the gutter. And so Republicans, they better think twice about what kind of guy they're putting as their leader, because you bow down to this guy or he'll stamp you right in the head and shove you right down. So if you think you're going to save America later, good luck with that, because once he's in power, everybody is under him and is whoever his top dogs are. In addition to that, Matt, he wouldn't get away with it, just like one of your callers called in and said, he wouldn't get away with it if there weren't people in power right now standing behind him, supporting him, because nobody in the past would have let any guy get away with this in our country. And it's alarming to me, and I feel very, very bad about it. Thank you so much for taking my call, and you have a good evening. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Jean. That was very eloquently put. I really appreciate it. I couldn't have put it better myself. I want to go now to an incredible lawsuit, a frivolous lawsuit that Elon Musk has sued against a media watchdog group called Media Matters for large dollars. And this is an example of a billionaire using his power to pay legal fees to try to bankrupt a good defendant. They're sometimes called slap suits, S-L-A-P, which is an acronym for something or other. But here are the facts, and this is reprehensible. The thing about Elon Musk, early on, I really admired him. This is a guy with a very smart guy, a lot of energy, and he says, I'm going to start a rocket ship company and compete with NASA and a car company and compete with GM and Ford. And I was thinking, who in God's name would do something like that? But he did it. I mean, and he made a lot of money doing it. So that's good for him. But here's what he did. He's gotten nutty. He's gotten goofy. So Media Matters is a watchdog group, and they put out a report that showed ads on X, which is formerly Twitter, next to pro-Nazi posts. In other words, Nazi stuff. Ken Paxton, that crooked attorney general in Texas, then opened an investigation into Media Matters, quote, to ensure that the public has not been deceived by the schemes of the radical left-wing organizations, end quote. Well, Media Matters report on Thursday showed a screenshot of mainstream ads for big companies that were posted on X next to Nazi stuff. As a result, IBM, Apple, and Disney suspended their advertising on X. They didn't want their stuff next to Nazi stuff. Musk says in this lawsuit, and think of the words he uses, because he doesn't state a claim. He says, quote, and this is in his thing, Media Matters, quote, only, end quote, looked at 30 accounts. Okay. 30 accounts had Nazi stuff in mainstream ads, made up, quote, only, end quote, of, quote, controversial, end quote, users in large companies, and then undertook, quote, excessive, end quote, scrolling and refreshing. Okay, what else? Okay. Then he says in his pleading, the overall effect on advertisers and users was to create the impression that these pairings were, quote, common, end quote, and, quote, alarming, end quote. Well, yeah, if I'm the CEO of IBM and I see my ads next to a Nazi thing, that's alarming. Yeah, that's alarming. And it's happened, you said, what, in 30 accounts is what they sampled? Well, okay. Then he goes on to say, X's safety protocols under normal organic conditions operate seamlessly. Okay. What is organic condition? What do you mean seamlessly under normal organic conditions? They're being posted next to Nazi stuff. This is all BS. Then he goes on, quote, not a single authentic user saw IBM's, Oracle's, and Comcast ads next to Nazi stuff. Oh, really? What's an authentic user? What's an authentic user? Some of your users saw it. Then he says only a couple of users saw Apple's next to Nazi stuff. Hey, guy, look, you've admitted that people saw Nazi stuff next to Apple. You admitted that users saw it next to IBM, Oracle, and Comcast, but you throw out the word authentic. What does that mean? One of the tricks in law, and I've used it myself, if there's a document that's bad for you, you say to the judge, "You judge, please disregard this fugitive document." What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, but it sounds bad. It sounds bad. This idiot is doing this to break Media Matters by having them pay attorney's fees against the billionaire's lawyers. That's all it is. He admits that mainstream ads appear next to Nazi stuff. That's all they said. And he's saying, well, under organic conditions, it wouldn't happen. And he only looked at 30 accounts. Okay. Okay, that's the sample. Do you want to show us 3,000 accounts where it didn't happen? People don't want their stuff next to Nazi stuff. He filed a lawsuit in Texas. Remember that judge up in Amarillo, right-wing Trumper who banned the birth control pill? He files it, one of those judges in Texas. Even though X is incorporated in Nevada, and its principal place of business is San Francisco. That's where it's a citizen of, not Texas. Then on Monday, Trump retweeted his agreement with a posting of a really vicious anti-Semitic conspiracy. And then he put in his own words, "You have said the exact truth," end quote. This guy's gotten nutty. Success has gone to his head. He's done some good things, but he's flat out nutty. And he is permitting widespread Nazi stuff on X, anti-Semitic stuff, which is dividing society. He's backing it up himself. And he's trying to bust through attorney's fees a media watchdog. This is wrong. This is very wrong. They should get their attorney's fees out of him. Some great libel defense lawyers should do it somewhat pro bono. But what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You know what's coming up? This is unbelievable. Argentina just elected a crazy man as president, and I mean that literally.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Stuart J. Waddles in the WAUK newsroom with an update on this afternoon's road closures in downtown Waukesha. The memorial ceremony starts at 4:39 at the Five Points intersection. There will be no parking allowed on roads in that vicinity after 2 p.m., including closures on Main, Broadway, and Freedman. Starting at 3, no traffic will be permitted to enter or exit the event area until it's all over. Additional event details can be found on the City of Waukesha's website.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is an incredible story. There was just an election for president in Argentina. Argentina elected a crazy man for president. And I mean that literally. The guy's name, he calls himself a far-right libertarian. His name is Javier Milei. And his nickname is El Loco. El Loco means the crazy man, the madman. That's his nickname. It's been his nickname a long time. El Loco. That's who they elected. One of his campaign promises was, because he's a libertarian, he said, if you want to sell one of your organs to a hospital or medical school, you should have the right to do it. The reason it's outlawed in most societies is poor people would do that. They'd sell a kidney. If you had a very poor man with a wife and kids, he might sell organs like his liver or half his liver that would kill him. In a bizarre kind of Twilight Zone society, they might sell their hearts. In other words, let their bodies be used as spare parts. The other thing El Loco did was he campaigned with a chainsaw. He'd go to a town, give a speech, he'd get up and he'd rev up the chainsaw. You know, vroom, vroom, vroom. And then he'd say, I am going to cut inflation. And he'd wield the chainsaw. A Loco would yield the chainsaw. Or he may say, I am going to let you sell your organs if you want to. And he'd grin as he pulled on the chainsaw. It wasn't clear in some of his speeches whether it would be voluntary that you would sell your organs. Because they have a lot of poor people down there and a lot of beggars that sleep in the streets, and somebody needs a kidney. I can't believe I am even saying this. Remember, they had a guy named Bolsonaro who was very pro-Trump. Trump buddied up to him. He buddied up to Trump, and he lost in the last presidential election. But inflation is high down there. There are economic problems in Argentina. Now, remember, Argentina is where Pope Francis is from. Some great novelists have come from Argentina. You know, we're not talking Afghanistan here. This is a civilized society with a great literary tradition. It used to be a great economy. If you have never seen the musical Evita, you really should go. And, you know, the movie, yeah, but go to the musical if you ever get a chance. Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. Some beautiful, beautiful music. And you get a feel for Argentinian culture. Never had the pleasure of visiting it, but hope to. And to think that El Loco is their new president, who campaigned with a chainsaw and advocated your right to sell your body parts, your innards, your internal organs, is unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. He is, in effect, a Trump. Trump knows that in the United States, if he went around with a chainsaw and said that people should sell their organs, that wouldn't help him. Although I'm not sure it'd kill him, frankly, in his base. He doesn't have the nickname El Loco, but he is loco. To me, he has early onset dementia, the combative type. There are different kinds of symptoms of the dementia. Some people are passive and they stare at you dully, but some get very, very combative, even with people they love. And they'll shout at them. And we have a family friend where that's going on right now. It's very sad. Husband has dementia, loved his wife, but he shouts at her, doesn't recognize her. Trump's vengeful shouting and threats of violence are, to me, indications of dementia. And there are many reasons why he should not ever be near the presidency again. But one of them is dementia, which I think is playing into his revenge fantasy. His revenge fantasy. But as he did with Bolsonaro, he will absolutely do with Javier Milei. He'll think it's funny. He'll think it's funny. And it's a very, very disturbing thing when you have Trump-like people. You have Orban in Hungary. You have Erdogan in Turkey. It's very, very disturbing. Go to the lines. Dynamo Dave, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dynamo Dave of Duluth, Minnesota.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, the magnificent one, Mr. Flynn. I was wondering about this. Maybe we talked about this before. You know, Trump, you know, he's conquered, you know, the Republican Party. He's like a parasite, like a wood tick. You know how like a dog, the dog's tail can wag it when it's so happy? Well, it's like Trump is wagging the whole Republican Party. But he's that big of a wood tick, you know. And it's also the solution, though. What is there, that 24th Amendment, if president has cited an insurrection or whatever, that's...
Great call. That's a great call, Dave. There's one where the cabinet can remove him for being crazy. I love your call. Call more often. David Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd worry that much about Malay. I understand that in the... two houses of the legislature in Argentina. He doesn't, the other parties that are opposing him have a majority. But other than that, you're absolutely right. You know, and it's scary because sometimes it's like watching the run up to World War II. You know, you have the AfD in Germany. And now, by the way, they're polling at 20%. That's 1 in 5. You have the, wow. I forget what And you have the in just Denmark, the right wing populist party there got as many votes as the winner of a plurality of the votes.
Wow, Dave, be sure to call in tomorrow. I have to end the show right now. I have no choice at it. It's been a great show, great callers as always. I'm hoping that David Madison calls first thing tomorrow. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, a lot of news and weather. Matt Flynn, signing off for today. See you same time, same place tomorrow.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Thanksgiving will be here soon, and I can't wait to spend the day with family and friends just catching up, playing games, and settling in for a big turkey dinner. This may sound weird, but my favorite part of a big turkey dinner is the gravy. I pour it on my turkey, potatoes, stuffing, and there's always plenty of Village Heart Dinner Rolls to help soak up every drop. And whether you prefer classic white or wheat, 12 grain or sweet Hawaiian, a basket of warm Village Hearth dinner rolls is the natural choice for Thanksgiving dinner.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.